Chapter 9. After picking up her cheery yellow VW bug, Lexi didn't feel like going home just yet. Never mind, she'd just shelled out $800 to the mechanic who'd claimed her baby was on its last leg. The day was sunny and warm, the breeze carried a hint of fresh pine and flowers, and she wanted to be out to experience it all. And so what if Jack hadn't bothered to call or text her all day? Jack obviously didn't see fit to tell her everything that was going on in his life, so why should she feel guilty about helping her grandmother and her friends find a menace to society, huh? She had better things to occupy her mind. Like finding out if the ladies had discovered the whereabouts of Nuncio's mysterious list. She signaled, then pulled out into traffic and headed for the storage facility on the edge of town. With luck, Nans and her friends would still be there going through Ruth's Oldsmobile. Sure enough, as soon as Lexi pulled into the lot, she spotted them inside the open bay door, tearing apart the car. Parts were strewn about the ground. They might have been part of the 80-plus crowd, but from the looks of things, the ladies could give a NASCAR pit crew a run for their money. Lexi parked near the entrance to the storage bay and walked up to the front of the Olds, one brow raised at the sight of Ida's orthopedic shoes sticking out from beneath the vehicle's front fender, close to the same spot as the victim. She'd had no idea that any of her grandmother's friends knew anything about auto mechanics, but she'd come to expect the unexpected when it came to the ladies' detective club. "Hi, ladies. Find anything interesting?" Lexi said, sidling around the tight space along the side of the car toward the back of the bay. On the opposite side of the vehicle, she spotted Ruth and Helen, busy prying off the interior door panels.
"Are you sure this is a good idea?" Helen asked Ruth. "These things don't seem to want to budge."
"Yes," Ruth said. "People hide stuff in them all the time. I saw it in a movie once."
Lexi stifled a grin and continued around to the back of the Olds, where she found Nans with her upper body inside the trunk and her rear end jutting up in the air. "Hey," she said, approaching slowly so as not to startle her grandmother. "What's going on?"
"Got another one,"
Helen yelled from the side of the car.
"You found the list?"
Lexi asked, standing on tiptoe to peer over the top of the Olds.
"What?"
Helen straightened and frowned, holding up a sparkly object between her fingers.
"No, another silver dime. This thing is loaded with old change from Ruth's late husband. Must have fallen out of his pockets and into the seat cracks, I suppose. These things are rare nowadays. They don't make solid silver dimes anymore."
"True." Ruth took the coin from Helen. "I found a bunch, too. In fact, that's what I had my bracelet and earrings made from, as a sort of keepsake from old George."
Her expression softened with nostalgia at the mention of her late husband. Old George had been gone for about 40 years now, if Lexi remembered correctly.
"Did you bring us any goodies from the bakery, Lexi?"
Ida asked, rolling out from beneath the car and wiping her hands on a rag, black streaks of oil and grease marring her otherwise lavender-hued hair.
"I've worked up a big appetite doing this search, you know. Wouldn't want me to get weak from hunger and perish, now would you?"
"I don't think you're in danger of perishing, Ida," Nan said, removing herself from the trunk. "It hasn't been that long since our snack. Besides, we've taken this whole car apart and haven't found that blasted list."
"Obviously, Nuncio hid the list because it was dangerous, and that man was killed for it," Ruth said.
"Maybe it's better that we don't find it. Maybe we should leave it to the police."
A brief twinge of guilt resurfaced inside Lexi over her promise to Jack. She wasn't a suspicious person by nature, but she also didn't like the idea of him keeping secrets from her. Not when he was demanding full disclosure from her.
It wasn't fair. And considering she'd all but fallen off his radar these days, this small rebellion suddenly didn't seem so bad after all. "No," she said, squaring her shoulders. "I think we should keep looking. If it's not here in the car, then the next best thing would be to find out the identity of Nunzio's associates. Maybe if we can talk to those people, we can figure out who's looking for this list and who might have killed Sherman Wilson."
"In that case, I say we start with Herman," Helen said. "He's sweet on Ruth, and he used to hang out a lot with Nunzio back in the day."
"He did?" Lexi was stunned. Herman Conti had seemed so sweet and honorable. But if he hung with people of Nunzio's ilk, then he couldn't have been quite so squeaky clean after all.
"Yeah. Remember, Ruth said Nunzio tried to warn her away from Herman because he was jealous, right?"
Helen turned to Ruth.
"That's right. I guess they traveled loosely in the same circles," Ruth said.
Ida made a face. "You mean that guy with the hats used to be a gangster, too? You sure know how to pick 'em."
Ruth rolled her eyes. "No, Ida. Herman wasn't a gangster. He knew Nunzio when they were young. I think maybe they worked together."
Ruth scrunched her lips together and tilted her head.
"Or did they go to school together?"
"Either way, seems like he'd be worth talking to. We have no other leads." Lexi smiled to hide her lingering discomfort over everything. "We can go visit him tomorrow. I'll even take along a box of his favorite blueberry scones to make him more amenable to our cause."